Today we are going to be talking about the murder of Shauna Taiafoe, who was a wife and mother, and why would someone who was so special to a lot of people end up getting killed? Shauna Taiafoe, who was a very special person, and what happened to her is just unimaginable, and was so unnecessary, so let me jump right in. Let's dive into this case.
Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
All right, well, this time, we're taking you to the glitz and the, well, the dark side of Las Vegas as we unravel the story of Shauna Taiafoe.
This one's got it all.
Oh, it does. Court documents, news reports, firsthand accounts.
We're really going deep.
We are. Shauna, for those who don't know, was a cocktail waitress at the Palms, known for her infectious laugh, but sadly, her life was cut tragically short.
And what makes this deep dive so interesting is that it's not just a question of who did it. It's a story of how a seemingly perfect life can take a dark turn. Financial pressure, controlling behavior, and ultimately desperation.
So let's set the stage. Early 2000s, Vegas. Shauna's living the dream, making over $100,000 a year as a cocktail waitress at the Palms.
That was serious money back then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Gave her a level of independence that a lot of women, even today, dream of.
And that financial independence becomes a key factor later on.
Right, because then she meets George, this seemingly charming firefighter. You know, all American, the whole nine yards.
They look like the perfect couple.
They do. Fast forward a few years, though. The 2008 recession hits, things start to change. And not for the better.
That's when those cracks start to show.
Yeah, George starts to change. He becomes controlling, verbally abusive, even in front of their daughter.
Hard to believe considering his background. West Point, charity work overseas.
I know, supported his family financially. You'd never suspect anything.
Goes to show, appearances can be very deceiving. Behind that facade, there's a lot of resentment brewing, especially as his financial security starts to crumble.
It's a textbook case of domestic violence, right? It starts subtly, with emotional abuse, control, before it escalates.
Exactly. And then things take an even darker turn. George starts hiring homeless people to do odd jobs around the house, which already sounds a little off.
Right. And there's this one guy in particular that really creeps Shauna out. She tells George about it.
But he dismisses her concerns completely. Big red flag.
Huge. It's like he doesn't even care about her feelings, her safety. He's isolating her, making her doubt her own instincts.
Classic manipulation.
Then, in September of 2012, Shauna's townhouse is broken into. But this isn't your typical robbery.
What's taken is strange.
Oh, very strange. The only things missing are her engagement ring and, get this, a pair of swimsuit bottoms.
And to make things even creepier.
Oh, they find a pair of men's boxers left behind. I mean, talk about unsettling.
It suggests a personal motive, maybe even something sexually motivated, a violation of her space. And it should have been a wake-up call.
Absolutely. But sadly, it wasn't. Just 3 weeks later, Shauna's murdered. Brutally attacked in her own stairwell after finishing a shift at the Palms.
And this wasn't a quick or clean crime. She was beaten 17 times.
Yeah.
The rage, the brutality, it's hard to fathom.
So naturally, all eyes turn to the husband, right?
Of course.
But, and here's the first big twist, George has an alibi. A solid one.
Backed up by his firefighter buddies.
Seems like an open and shut case. But Shauna's sister, Paula, she's not buying it. She's convinced George is involved somehow.
She refuses to let it go.
And thank goodness for that, because her persistence is what ultimately breaks this case wide open.
You're talking about the call from Big Will, right?
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
So, Big Will knew a guy called Greyhound, later identified as Noel Stevens. Noel actually confessed to Big Will, bragged about how he'd killed a woman with a hammer.
And to Big Will's credit, he went straight to the police. What a stand-up guy.
A true hero. Who knows what would have happened if he hadn't come forward.
So the police track Noel down, but initially he denies everything.
Until they search his campsite.
What did they find?
A pair of Noel's jeans covered in Shauna's blood and a price tag for a hammer.
That's pretty damning.
It is. And remember, Noel had this strange, almost boastful attitude about the murder. The police used that. They told him someone had identified him. That's when he cracked. Confessed everything.
So we've got a confession, we've got physical evidence, but the question is, why Shauna? Why would Noel target her? And the answer, as you probably guessed, lies in a series of phone records.
87 calls.
Wow. 87 calls between George and Noel in the month leading up to Shauna's murder.
It's not random.
Okay, so the creepy guy Shauna was afraid of is the same guy George was calling constantly.
It starts to look less like a random act of violence and more like a carefully orchestrated plan.
And remember, Noel mentioned George gave him a key to Shauna's apartment.
That level of access, combined with the Fane records, it all points to something much darker.
It seems like George was using Noel to get rid of Shauna. But to be absolutely sure, the police decided to dig a little deeper.
And that's where the seemingly insignificant price tag for the hammer becomes crucial. Using the barcode, detectives were able to identify the exact type of hammer and trace it back to the store where it was purchased.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me they found security footage.
You got it.
Oh, man, this is getting good.
Oh, yeah. There it was, clear as day. George, shopping with Noel, buying a hammer, a ski mask, and black clothing.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Remember, George told investigators he'd never met Noel before.
The liar.
Totally busted.
So I'm guessing at this point, Noel spills the beans about the whole plan.
He does. Faced with all that evidence, he confesses. Tells the police George had promised him $600 up front and thousands more from Shauna's life insurance policy.
So it wasn't just about getting rid of her. It was about profiting from her death.
It was. Cold-blooded? Right.
Totally. But why go through all that trouble? Why not just pay Noel to disappear?
Good question. And it really shows how manipulative George was. He didn't just want Shauna gone. He wanted to be completely in the clear. He needed a fall guy, someone he could control.
And Noel, with his history of drug use and mental health issues, he was the perfect target.
Absolutely. Vulnerable, desperate, easy to manipulate. George knew exactly what he was doing.
So what happens when the police decide to contact George's family?
Well, that's when things get really crazy. The police, and some people criticize this later, they alerted George's family before actually arresting him.
So they tipped him off.
Basically.
Yeah.
And that's when he tries to make a run for it.
He tries to run.
Oh, he does more than that. Tries to end it all. Drives his car head on into a cement barrier. A suicide attempt.
Wow. Like he couldn't face what he'd done.
That's one interpretation. Some say it was a last-ditch effort to get sympathy, to play the victim.
Did it work?
Nope, it failed.
So George ends up in a hospital bed, under arrest. I can't even imagine what his family was going through.
Their whole world just imploded, the man they thought they knew.
Turns out he's a monster.
Basically.
9 days after Shauna's murder, George is officially arrested. And get this, his reaction is totally chilling. He just says, okay, no emotion, no remorse.
Like it didn't even faze him.
It's like he's incapable of human emotion.
It's really disturbing.
Yeah.
And that lack of emotion, that almost robotic response, it continues throughout the whole legal process.
Spooky. So the trial, I bet that was a media circus.
Oh, yeah, huge. Everyone was fascinated by this seemingly perfect couple and their tragic end.
And Shauna's family.
They were there, front and center, wearing pink in her honor, determined to see justice done.
I bet that was powerful. So Noel, he becomes the star witness, right?
He does, testifying about how George manipulated him into committing the murder.
But I bet his testimony wasn't the most reliable.
You're right. The defense went after his history of drug use, his mental health issues, tried to paint him as an unreliable narrator, someone prone to making things up.
They tried to say he acted alone, right?
Right. That George was an innocent pawn in Noel's twisted game. But the prosecution had that mountain of evidence. The phone records, the security footage, Noel's detailed confession.
That's hard to argue with.
It is. The defense tried to poke holes in Noel's story, but the facts were the facts.
So after 3 long years, the verdict comes in. What happened?
Guilty on all counts.
Justice for Shauna. What about George? Any reaction?
Nope. Same stoic, emotionless expression. Like the verdict meant nothing to him. It's really chilling.
Wow. It really makes you wonder what's going on in his head.
You know, a lot of people, even experts, commented on his lack of emotion.
Yeah.
It made them question his capacity for human connection. It's a question that still hangs over this case.
For sure. But for Shauna's loved ones, the verdict had to be a huge relief.
Oh, absolutely. Seeing them there in pink, embracing each other, crying tears of relief.
Yeah.
It was incredibly moving.
A testament to their love for Shauna.
Definitely. And their commitment to getting justice for her. It reminds you that even in the face of such horrific loss, there can be strength, resilience.
What about the sentencing? What did George get?
Life in prison without the possibility of parole. Plus another 32 to 81 years, he's never getting out.
Wow. What about Noel?
42 years to life.
That seems fair, considering what he did. But the story doesn't end there, right? George keeps fighting his conviction?
Yeah, he filed a bunch of appeals.
Like what?
Oh, you know, claiming mental incompetence, saying his lawyer wasn't good enough.
Trying every trick in the book.
Yeah, pretty much. But all of his appeals were denied.
It's hard to imagine what Shauna's family went through, especially her daughter.
I know. She was only 8 years old when her mother was murdered. Imagine losing both parents like that.
Awful. Her mom to this horrible crime, and her dad, well, basically to prison. It's just, it's tragic. What happened to her after the trial?
Shauna's sister Paula stepped up and raised her, gave her a loving home.
That's amazing, family sticking together like that. So where's Shauna buried?
Her family actually fought to have her body moved.
Yeah.
They wanted her back in Utah.
Back home.
Yeah. You know, where she was originally from.
I can see why they'd want that. It's like they were reclaiming her story.
Yeah. It was a way to honor her memory, to make sure her story wasn't just defined by this tragedy.
It's crazy to think that even after all that evidence, some people still thought George was innocent.
It's hard to wrap your head around, right?
Yeah.
But even with all the proof, some of his family and friends, they still believed him.
Wow. It shows how powerful denial can be. This whole deep dive has been really eye-opening. It just goes to show you never really know what's going on behind closed doors.
And it really highlights the importance of recognizing the signs of domestic violence.
Right. Shauna confided in some people about George's behavior, but it wasn't enough to stop it.
It's a call to action. We need to be more aware, more willing to speak up, and support those who are struggling in silence.
Absolutely. Silence can be deadly. But it's also inspiring to see the strength of Shauna's loved ones. They turned their grief into something positive.
They did. Became advocates for domestic violence awareness. They didn't want any other family to experience this kind of pain.
What a legacy. A reminder that even in the darkest times, there's hope. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think the big question is, how can we create a world where stories like Shauna's are the exception, not the rule?
Yeah. How can we build a culture of empathy, support, and intervention? That's something for all of us to think about.
Definitely. And to everyone listening, we encourage you to keep learning about domestic violence, support organizations that are fighting abuse, and most importantly, speak up if you see something. Your voice could save a life.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay safe.
Join us again next time for another deep dive into yet another case. Please comment and let us know your thoughts. Thanks.